Chofov Sivan, Tuesday the 24th of June, Rabbi Malcolm Herman, Dar Mashitoshev.
So our topic is Dar Mashitoshev, which of course is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which you have in front of you, and the dangers of engagement with the Apikoros are evidently clear, of course, from last week's parasha. Last week's parasha, which has Parshas Korach, is interesting. In Shlishi, Hashem turns to Moshe now and he says, "Ibodlu mitoch ha'eda hazois. Ibodlu, separate yourselves, distance yourself from this assembly. Va'achala usam karaga, and I will destroy them instantly." Moshe Benu, va'yiplapaneim, they collapse. And they say, one man sins, and are you going to destroy the whole assembly? Hashem responds and says, move away from Korach, Dasan Vaviram. So actually the question is, what was going on over here in this? Did Hashem intend to destroy everybody, and then Moshe Rabbeinu appeals for their salvation, or not? What happens? So the Ramban brings the Sforno. The Sforno learns that actually Hashem never intended to destroy anything other than Adas Korach. And Moshe Rabbeinu misunderstood the instruction of Hashem, misunderstood, and he thought Hashem was going to destroy everybody. And he says to Hashem, Keruchos, you know that the only perpetrator over here is Korach. You who understand Machshavos Adam, you know the only perpetrator is Korach, so why are you threatening everybody? And Hashem says, no, you misunderstood. It was only Korach that was under danger, not the rest. Ramban himself dismisses that pshat and says it's inconceivable that Moshe Rabbeinu misunderstood the instruction of Hashem. And he learns, if you go back a pasuk beforehand, Vayakel Aleim Korach Kol Ha'eda, that Korach, with his oratory, began to gather around him the whole of Klal Yisrael, and began to seduce the whole of Klal Yisrael and encourage them to hear what he had to say. And the very fact that they gathered around and began to contemplate his words and engage with him in certain respects, that placed them in danger. That engagement placed them in danger, and therefore, yes, they were in danger. They were also under threat. And Moshe Rabbeinu manages to persuade HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the perpetrators, the instigators, they are the ones that should suffer destruction. But the others, even though they've become involved, nonetheless, they don't deserve destruction, and it's tefillah successful. There's a kind of salutary beginning, if you like, in terms of the dangers of engaging with the Apikoros, with those who undermine that which we stand for, because it placed the whole of Klal Yisrael in danger in that momentary engagement. But let's have a look at the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Very well known Mishnah. I'd like to take us through this Mishnah and move on from there in different directions. The Mishnah says as follows. In Rebbe Elazar Eimer, you should have a copy in front of you. Have you shocked the Ilmo Torah? Nadar Mashitosh Apikoros. Be diligent in one study of Torah. Know how to respond to the Apikoros. Nadar Lif Lemiyah Ta'omel. And know before whom you toil. And the employer will be faithful in recompensing. So, initially it looks as though there are four different clauses in this Mishnah. Shokid lil matur, be diligent in Torah study, know how to respond to Apikoros, know before whom you toil, and know that you're going to get your schar at the end of it. That's one way of looking at it. You have in front of you, actually let's begin with the baritone that you have in front of you, the Loshon Apikoros. So the Medrash Shmuel brings, and it's quite a well-known idea, that really the Loshon Apikoros, or one version is that it is to do with Epicurus. It was a 4th century Greek philosopher whose whole philosophy undermined the concept of the divine, and therefore, just like the Tzedukim by Tussim, they were Zocha, quote-unquote, to have a movement named after them. So him as well, those who associated with those types of ideas, or developed those ideas, were known as Apikorosim. But actually over here, the Baal Tanura brings a different pshat. Different pshat. Two very interesting pshatim. Loshon Hefka, the notion of Hefka, the root of it is Hefka. Shemavaza as a Torah, machshiva kilu Hefka. An Apikoros is somebody who denigrates Torah and treats it as though it is abandoned. Hefka. First pshat. So it's called an Apikoros because of his abandonment of Torah. Inami, mesim atzmo kefka. He makes himself Hefka. Ve'eino chos al nafsho, lochus shematova lovra, ashmavaz as a Torah down. It's not that he abandons the Torah, he abandons self-interest. He has no concern for his own neshama, his own spiritual well-being, and in the views that he espouses, he does not bother at all about the possible recriminations for the views that he espouses. So both Peshotim revolve around the idea that the essence of the word is hefka, abandonment. Either it's abandonment of the Torah, or it's self-abandonment and no concern with the possible consequences of being mevaz of the Torah. Of course, as we shall see, actually, that Loshon Apikores is used very broadly in different things. So, for example, I mean, the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva lists different categories, Minim, Apikorosim, and Mumrim, none of which are a club that one would want to belong to, but all in all, they number 24 different categories of people, 24 different categories, whom the Rambam says, Enhem Chelek Olam Haba. However, although he categorizes them there, elsewhere the term is used more broadly. So, for example, at the end of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, the Rambam discusses that anybody who does not subscribe to even one of these Ikarim, these fundamentals of faith, would be classified as an Apikores. And the Meiri in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Amud Aleph, says the term Apikores is really also used in a broader sense for anybody who undermines one of the fundamental tenets of Torah. It's interesting that the Tosfos Yom Tov over here, quoting Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbeinu Yonah, looking at yourself, it's very interesting. He says that actually, it's not clear that there are four clauses in this Mishnah. It could be there are only three clauses in this Mishnah. And the first two are one clause. Have ishokud lilmer Torah, be diligent in one's Torah study, so that one can respond to the Apikores. It is not an instruction to respond to the Apikores, but it is a quality mark of the standard of one's learning. In fact, according to one Girusa, the Lashon Da is not in there. It's not, and know what to say. It's kudei. And one's standard of learning should be such that one is able to respond to the Apikores. And the Lashon, the Medrash Shmuel, is very, very interesting. It quotes an earlier source. It's worthwhile reading, hearing. Amar, ma shetosh Apikores, de'ehu ata bi'adiyah shleima. Know it thoroughly, for lo hiya teshuvascha alav mekubeles etzlecha. And your response to him should not be a kind of a received response. Omunu medes, me acher, or learn from someone else, a third party response, a keni, sheni keni shlishi response. You have to know it from your own learning. Kichein lo tmatzeacho. So, if that's how you are responding to him, from an off-pat response, from a primer of some sort, then it's not going to be successful in your argument to him. It's got to come from the depth of one's own Torah knowledge. So therefore, he learns it not as a separate clause. On the contrary, it's indicative of the standard to which one should learn. And through one's learning, one should be able to respond to those who come and question. But he goes on to say as follows. When the Lashon Mishnah is, know how to answer. You shouldn't go to them seeking debate. To question their views. You should be ready to respond should the question come, but not go out looking for debate. It says in interesting Lashon. Don't go and incite the dog, is his language. In other words, don't go looking for debate. Don't mash a toshif. If there's a question that comes to you, you have to know how to respond to it, and one's Torah learning should be such that one is able to respond. But don't go in search of debate. So this is, so far, the instruction of the Mishnah, actually all Mephoshim say this, is a reaction, not proaction. Doesn't mean go there looking for the engagement. The Tiferes Yisrael, over here, he learns the whole Mishnah is really talking about a process of learning Torah. A three-stage process of learning Torah. The stage number one is having shokud, nilmer Torah. That means to be diligent. In fact, he notes, it doesn't say having shokid, nilmer Torah, which would be to be diligent. I don't know what the noun would be for a diligent. Is there such a noun? A diligent? It basically is having shokud. That means you should be one who is, in one's very essence, a diligent, if such a noun exists. Having shokud. Not shokid. Shokud would be the verb. Shokud would be the noun. In other words, the one's approach to Torah is so embodied that diligence comes as second nature. That's instruction number one. And he puts the test for this. Basically, it should be that chazara on a daily basis should be automatic. Otherwise, as he says, ultimately, you're going to forget what you learned today. That's instruction number one. One's diligence should be such that one embodies the concept of Torah study. Number two, which is Damash Atoshiv, is basically the depth of study. Depth of study, I'm not going through this now, he gives seven questions a person should always ask himself in anything one learns. Seven questions, if you can answer all of these seven questions, then you have really studied with diligence, and you'll be able to answer any question whatsoever. And not just a question that comes from within our perspective, as he puts it, Misratza b'kabbaloseinu ha'ne'emona, but even those who come from an external perspective and come from an external discipline, if one's learned thoroughly enough, then one will be able to respond to them. So again, he learns as part of a standard of learning. And the third component, first is diligence, second is depth, and the third component is to remove any concerns from one's mind. The dalif ne'miyata omel, know before whom you are toiling in Torah. Know before whom you are toiling in Torah. And the concept that Kosh Baruch Hu can read our thoughts, and yet whilst we are learning, we allow other things to intrude, or other distractions to interrupt us, that's almost an insult to Kosh Baruch Hu, before whom we are toiling. So he learns this whole Mishnah is really an instruction in terms of how to learn. Diligence, depth, and focus. The three components critical for superior learning. And from that, basically, so he doesn't really see this in essence as a major instruction in terms of Dama Shatoshiv. It's a quality mark in terms of one's standard of learning. The Rashi learns, Bratanur I should say learns, that we're coming back to that phrase, V'dalef ne'mir to omel, is talking about as follows. When you are engaging with the Apikuris, the Tshuva Zush, Atamashal Apikuris, be careful. Know with whom you are engaging. So he learns that the person that is referred to in this phrase, know it before whom you are toiling, is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but is the Apikuris himself, the heretic himself. And therefore he says, whilst you are engaging with the heretic, be very, very careful. Because it could be that maybe some of his arguments might sound appealing, or might begin to make sense, and that could be damaging or even dangerous, as we shall see in a few minutes in the Lashon of the Rambam. The Rambam himself, in Pirush Mishnayos, quoting Tosfos Yom Tov as well, he learns, Dalef Ne'emeyata Amel. Yes, it's a reference to the dialogue between the learner and the Apikuris, but he's actually saying, know before whom you are toiling, actually a Kodesh Prophet sees your thoughts. So whilst you are engaging with the heretic, whilst you're engaging with Apikuris, be aware of your own thoughts, so that you don't have a vested interest in undermining what is ours, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu observes your thoughts, and therefore ensure that one's thoughts are pristine for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even when engaging with a heretic. Now let's have a look at, so really there are only three different pshatim over there in that last phrase. The Yochanan Voya says it's about your standard of learning, don't be distracted. Both Rashi and Rambam learn it's about your dialogue with a heretic. Rashi learns, be careful about the other personality, because his views might start making sense. And the Rambam says the same warning, but who you need to be aware of is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence. Now let's have a look at the Lashon of the Rambam himself, which you have in your sheets, the Lashonis of the Rambam on Pirush Mishnayos. Should be there, is that right? Loma Devarim Shatosha Bahem. And Apikoros Simon Umas. Learn the words that you should respond to them when it comes to heretics mina umos from the nations of the world. And debate with them, engage with them, again, if they ask you. Now, Varmru, now he quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in Lamed Ches and Gilles, Amad Beis, a lotion of Epicharism Goy. There the Gemara actually quotes our Mishnah, and says, the reference to Dama Shatoshiv is with a non-Jewish Apikaris, Avon Yisrael, culture came to Paka. Now this phrase is translated, Yisrael, how much more so, the Paka. When I first learned that Gemara, maybe coming from the perspective I come from, I thought it means that if you have to engage with a non-Jewish heretic, culture came, you have to engage with a Jewish heretic to try and bring them back. But actually, the Rambam does not learn that way at all. He's on the contrary. Ratzon Eloma, the words of the Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, Shu Yosef Zilzul Valiglu. The Jewish heretic, the genuine Jewish heretic, by genuine I mean the learned Jewish heretic, he is someone that will be even more disparaging than the non-Jewish heretic. Lefichach ein roi ladon imo. It's not appropriate to engage with him at all. These are harsh words. He is irreparable. Vein refuah klal, and he is beyond salvation. So, a quote the apostle from Mishnah, which the Gemara in Yerushalayim in Avodah Zarah learns, Kol ba'aha lo yeshuvan. All those who go to Avodah Zarah will not come back. Lo yasigu orchus chaim, they will not achieve length of days. So, therefore, the Rambam says over here that actually, if you are facing someone who has learnt, and facing someone who has come from within, and they have rejected it, culture ken shapaka. They're not coming with an open mind, ready to engage. They have ready an a priori position. They have ready assumptions. And therefore, the engagement with them is a waste of time. You're not going to be able to dissuade them. They've been there, they've done it, they've, as they say these days, been there, done it, it's got the t-shirt, they know it all, and they're not going to want to engage with you in any genuine sense of looking to come back. Now, we'll see a qualification on that, Bizman Azeh. Varma, the Rambam goes on, And if you are studying the views of the non-Jews, in order to understand how to respond to them, be very careful that none of their views attach to you. Though, but the one before whom you are working, we've already mentioned this, knows your inner secrets. That's what it means to Arnav Neomeyata Omel. Rambam says, so engage with them. If they come to you, the non-Jewish heretic, and they're genuinely interested in understanding a world of Mikabu Kulamas Ol Malchus Secha, but be very careful in so doing that you don't become attached to that.
What is a non-Jewish heretic?
Non-Jewish heretic is someone who is basically a pagan. Nobody but Azor, a pagan, but is in this particular occasion, I mean, someone who is nonetheless interested in hearing about a monotheistic formula.
But nowadays, they're not pagans.
Okay, so let's leave nowadays for the moment. Okay. Okay, I'm not sure that intellectual necessarily means you're not a pagan, but anyway, because the Rambam himself writes, that many of the Avodah Zorah began as an intellectual pursuit, didn't begin as a what's the word, a boorish pursuit. But we'll come back to Bisman Azeh. It means when you are engaging with the heretic on the instruction of this Mishnah, know that Kodesh Baruch Hu knows your thoughts, Hashem knows your thoughts, and therefore be very careful to ensure that none of his ideas become part of your thinking. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, which again you have in front of you, Rambam, very remarkable words of the Rambam, which I'm going to run through at some speed. Svarim Rabbim Chibro Obdei Kochavim, Bavodasa. The non-Jewish Obdei Avodah Zorah have written many books, on instruction manual for Avodah Zorah. Akash Baruch has commanded the Shaloni Kros and Moses for him. We shouldn't read them at all. We shouldn't engage them at all. Okay? Brings various psukim for that. Next halacha. All of these lavin in this respect, all in the same direction, we shouldn't turn to them, etc. Now jump a couple of lines. End of the second line. Any thought? Shugorim lo la'adam la'akor ikom e'kariyatera. Any machshava, any thought that might encourage a person to uproot a concept of Torah, muzhoin onesh lo la'halos alibenu. We shouldn't contemplate it. V'lo nesiach datenu l'kach. We shouldn't talk about it or think about it. V'nachshav nimshach achrei ha'alev. Why not? Now, quite a strong language. Neshadat shel adam katzara. The mind of a human being is narrow. And not everybody is able to understand the truth in its pristine clarity. And if a person is drawn after the thoughts of his heart, you're playing with fire, basically. You're playing with fire. You could destroy the world because of one's inability to appreciate or intellectualize appropriately. Ketzat, Parmim, sometimes you might think about other forms of worship. Sometimes you might begin to wonder whether the unity of Kodesh Baruch is the case. It goes to a whole lot of philosophical questions, which if one contemplates in a kind of without adequate ability, says the Rambam, you're in serious danger. There's a possibility that some of these thoughts might take root and begin to undermine or erode the emes of Torah in our minds. Then he says, and this all comes from the pasuk of Losa Surah Achin of Avim. Losa Surah Achin of Avim, which the Gemara says, even though in the translation is one should not follow one's heart, the Gemara says this is a reference to Minim, which is a false ideology. The Surah Achin of Avim is a false ideology. And therefore it's a lav in the Torah, even though it's a lav which does not have an action, it's a lav which is thought-based, and therefore does not have Malkus. Nonetheless, as the Rambam to reiterate, it's a lav like any other lav in the Torah. In Halacha Dalad over here, which I didn't bring on your page, the Rambam brings that actually somebody who follows this type of pursuit, and here he gives a more general definition of Apikoros, one who follows his heart and rejects Torah in a kind of casual manner, he actually says in the Rambam, in Hilchos Avodah Zorah, he says, Ein no teshuva. There's no teshuva. No teshuva at all. But actually in Hilchos Teshuva, the Rambam brings, in that list of the elite 24, so the Rambam brings that they do have teshuva. If they do proper teshuva, they can do teshuva. And it looks on the surface of it as though in Hilchos Avodah Zorah, Rambam says there's no teshuva for them. But in Hilchos Teshuva, Rambam says there's teshuva for them. And Lecha Mishnah and Kesa Mishnah both discuss it as do others. Lecha Mishnah says, actually, that the Gemara describes that for a person to do tshuva from Avodah Zarah, certainly, it's such a dramatic tshuva that one can't survive the process. Therefore, in Hilchos tshuva, the Rambam says one can do tshuva, it means, Bifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can do tshuva. For Hashem, you can do tshuva, that's not bad. But in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it's talking about our interaction with someone that has drifted so far, and I will say, from a position of knowledge, drifted so far. The Rambam is saying, if they're walking around still, it's clear they haven't done proper tshuva. Because the process of tshuva there is so dramatic that one couldn't survive the experience of tshuva. It'd be a tshuva that one literally lose one's life, like a lozim and nodoy. And therefore, if they are walking around, you know, we can't accept their tshuva because clearly they haven't done it to an adequate degree. Only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can accept the tshuva if they do so in such a manner that it means that they're mamish almost, well, actually most of nefesh in the process of tshuva. But what's interesting, of course, and this is, there's a maimor of the Kovetz Mamorim, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Sefer Kovetz Mamorim, where he asks a Kashan Rambam, which others ask, which is, we know, first of all, by the way, even what we've quoted so far, the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, which I quoted so far, Mishnah Torah seems to imply that you do need to study im hayoscha lo meit deus umos. And if you study the ideas of umos, kadesha ted, in order to know. So it looks as though there is some room for maneuver to study where you are doing so in order to respond to them. The Mechonim Vassman asks the Kasha, in Kovetz Mamorim, and ask, we know the Rambam himself studied other Svarim and was an expert in other ideologies and theologies. How can that be? So Kovetz Mamorim suggests that maybe we have a principle, Shluchim Mitzvah Enin Zakim. Because the Rambam described over here, it's a dangerous process to do so. It's literally dangerous. It threatens our very fabric of our being to study ideologies that might take us away from Torah. And we cannot trust ourselves. We'd be naive to trust ourselves. So if it's the Chore, it's a potential damage over here, spiritual damage. So first, the Kovetz Mamorim suggests that we invoke the rule of Shluchei Mitzvah Enin Nizak. That means that someone who is engaged in the mitzvah is protected from harm. However, we don't normally use that rule when it comes to Shechicha Hezekah. When the damage is highly prevalent, you can't speed, you know, 90 miles an hour down a Goldsmith Road to catch a minion, even though many people do. But you're not supposed to do that. And you can't say to yourself, Shluchei Mitzvah Enin Nizakin, I'm an agent for mitzvah, I'm protected from harm. First of all, it doesn't work with the Metropolitan Police, I've noticed. But secondly, you're not protected because you are engaging in something which is above average danger. So, and here, the way the Rambam described the dangers of these thought processes, it looks as though it's a Shechicha Hezekah. So how can it be? So Rabbi Chanan says, the Rambam was exceptional. He says the Rambam himself was exceptional, and only one of the caliber of the Rambam could engage in such study to do so in order to counteract other views, and therefore the Rambam himself was exceptional. And basically, if I've understood him correctly, we can't learn or compress us to the Rambam. He writes about himself. Even people like us, small as we are, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman writes about himself, you know, we couldn't engage in such study because we don't have the protection of the mitzvah. The Meiri in Avodah Zarah, no, in Sanhedrin, sorry, in Sadi Amud Aleph, Meiri brings, because there the Gemara brings that actually about that one is allowed to study Kishuf Lahovin of the Horos, witchcraft. If one is to paskin about a practice of some sort or another, then some study is allowed in order to understand it, Lahovin of the Horos, and to paskin. The Meiri brings over there, the same thing is true with Sifrei Minim. Lahovin of the Horos, Sifrei Minim is allowed to study. Although I don't see it, the only place that I've found which is reflected in the Rambam is in Pirush Mishnayos. I actually asked the Shaila about it, and it seems clear that those who are studying it for the purpose, only for the purpose, to respond to those who need a response, and do so at a level of expertise, then it seems that the Havanah Horos, I'm not giving a halacha share here at all, but it seems that, you know, there are those who say you can do it, the Havanah Horos, for that. But it's absolutely clear that it can't be a casual study. A chavra of mine told me that he once asked Dan Lopin if you can read the book, the Bible of Atheism these days, The God Delusion. Come on, read that book. A colleague of mine is in a similar field. So Dan Lopin said to him, yes, but not in the toilet. Why? Because if you're reading it as a casual thing, you know, to keep you entertained, then that's not what it's about. That's actually, that's completely wrong. That's as though it's a chavra of him. But if you have people who are asking questions on this book, and you have to respond to those questions, then you've got to be able to respond properly. They'll have another horos. That means you've got to be thinking about the Torah as you're reading this book. You're reading it to reject it. You're not reading it for your own entertainment or your own self-edification. You're reading it to reject it. So therefore, you can't read in the Torah because you can't be thinking Torah thoughts. Again, it's not halacha shi'an, it's very interesting in that. It's already been mentioned or raised the question about his Manhazeh, do we have the Rambam himself in Hilchos Mamrim brings a very interesting expression about second generation or third generation Mamrim, right? Those who rebel against Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Pamedim Mamurim, Be'ish Shakofa Baturah Shabal Peh, Mamach Shavta, a person who denies Turah Shabal Peh, etc., etc. Alba B'nei Osen Hatoyim, the children of those, U'B'nei B'neim and their grandchildren, Shidich Osen Avosam, whose fathers push them away from Torah mitzvahs, from Nol Dul B'minis, and they were born into an atmosphere of heresy. V'gidl Osam Olov, Hari Hein Kitinish Nishbal Ben Agoyim, those are like children who have been captured amongst the nations, V'gidlu Agoyim Adatim Shu Onus, and therefore they are Onus. Afol Pisha Shom Achach Shei Yehudi, even if a person discovers off that he's a Jew, V'raha Yehudim, and he sees Jews, V'datam in their ways, Hari Hu Ka Onus, Shari Gidlu Al Ta'usam, they have been raised in an atmosphere of error. Kach Elu Ochsim Medarke V'Seim Shato L'Fichach Roy Lachsinim M'Tshuva. There, one should do everything anyone can to bring them back to tshuva. For Nimshach Osam Medarke Shalom Atay Yachzur La'Eis Natera, and to engage with them in a manner which is peaceful until one brings them back to Torah, etc. So very, very interesting. So the second generation, third generation. And actually, Samuel Shaphol Hirsch, in one of his tshuvas, in the whole issue there, where he rejected reform with both hands, he brings this Rambam to make a distinction between the first generation, those who were knowledgeable, and those who could be classified as apikorosim, because they came from a position of knowledge and rejected it, and the second generation, who were victims of their parents' own direction in life. Certainly, I've seen quoted, there's an ancient sefer, Avosas Ha'avot, which is a sefer by Mordechai Becher, actually on Shaz and Shubas and Kiruv. And he brings many, many poskim. Mizman Azeh, most people today that don't know, even if they don't subscribe to Gimel Nekrim, he brings them. Many poskim say they would be classified, like, as Rambam says, as second, third generation. It's not that they've elected not to know, they've never had the opportunity to know. Although famously, the famous expression, one has to know certain things in terms of one's own connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, but in terms of our approach to them, there's no question about it, that according to the Rambam and according to those poskim who classify them as Sinokas Lishbo, they would be people we would engage with and need to engage with. But it has to be done at a level of knowledge and level of expertise, not just engagement. I'd like to finish up with one thought, if I may, squeeze in an extra thought, and come back to Rabbi Chanan Vassman, and Moshe Tzurach and Rabbi Avchem. Because the Gemara says, Moshe Tzurach and Rabbi Avchem is, as we said, is a reference to alien thoughts, minus, alien thoughts. Even though the terminology is Moshe Tzurach and Rabbi Avchem, you shouldn't follow your hearts. So Rabbi Chanan Vassman, in his first Maimah, he basically brings this concept, which is expressed in many different ways, that ultimately, when you have a clash between the emotions and the rationale, the emotions always win out. So even though we may appear to be rationalizing, but ultimately our emotions are often in charge. The same with Korach. Korach came with his whole taina and his whole rationalization, which he began with his oratory, began to persuade the people, it's not for my sake, it's for your sake, we're all accessible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why should anybody have a front row seat, etc., etc. It sounded very rational. But by Yikach Korach, Rashi brings, really he was Nimshach HaKalavava. So I saw a beautiful moshel, we'll finish with this, in Ryach Galinsky's Sefer, brought from the Alto de Vada, about the clash between who's in charge? Who's in charge, the mind or the heart? We often think the mind is in charge, but we dig a little deeper, we say that isn't the case. Brings a marshal of an amateur burglar, a bank robber. And the guy wants to break into a bank, needs to pay his mortgage payments, whatever it is, and the only way you get into the bank, you can't get past security. So he steals a policeman's uniform, and he dresses in the policeman's uniform, has a revolver in his pocket, and goes into the bank, manages to get through the security, goes into the policeman's uniform. And he gets the teller at the till and says whatever you're supposed to say, money or your life, whatever the formula is, and the guy puts up his hands on the strict instructions, don't risk your life, hand over the money. So he's collecting the money when suddenly he feels a revolver in his back. And a voice behind him says, I'm a plainclothes detective. I happen to be in the bank at this moment. I saw you going through this, and I'm afraid either you put down your gun or I'm going to shoot you. So Nabuch has been caught, puts down his gun, turns around, tucker behind him is a guy with a gun in his hand, shows him his card as a plainclothes detective, whips out the handcuffs and handcuffs the policeman. Now, picture the scene. He marches him out of the bank, and you've got the policeman and a plainclothes detective walking out of the bank. And the chaverim of the plainclothes detective seen this man handcuffed to the policeman. And they don't know he's a plainclothes, they don't know what he does, he's an undercover detective. So he's like, what's happened to you? Why have you been arrested? So the detective says, no, I haven't been the one that's arrested. I've arrested him. I'm the policeman, and he is the criminal. So the criminal thinks to himself, you know what, I might as well get something from this. So he says, I don't believe him, for goodness sake. Look, I'm one of the policeman's uniform. He's in civilian's clothing. I'm the policeman, he's the criminal. You know, because you only know what this guy did. So how's he going to prove to his chaverim that he's the real one? How's he going to prove it?
CCTV,
no. More simple than that. Simple than that. Who has the key to the handcuffs? Who has the key to the handcuffs? So the detective takes out the key and says, listen, it might look as though he's in charge, but I'm actually in charge. I have the key. Brilliant, Moshe. Beautiful Moshe. Says Rav Yaakov Alinsky, you know, it looked as though Korach was in his rationale was in charge. He was articulating. So often it happens, it looks as though there's an international argument. But where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Says the Shema, says the Lusturach Ravavchem. Ultimately, often, even though we rationalize, our emotions have the key. And therefore, that's the danger over here of engaging in an intellectual pursuit without clarity of knowledge and without clarity of self. Because that's the inherent danger of dabbling in these areas, but ultimately our emotions have a key. We have to control our emotions to live in Ruchnis and to work in Ruchnis. And therefore, two things emerge, halacha and maisa. One is having shock and lulma Torah, the need to learn Torah at depth. And the other was in terms of our own avoda, to be candid with ourselves in terms of whether heart or mind has the key.